We are in the book of 1 John, and we are going to be going through the Word of God. So open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Welcome to all of the folks that are watching us live stream and then also be watching on the video later on the week. We're glad that you're with us as well. If you missed, how many of you did not see last week's, probably nobody wanted to raise your hands, but if you did not, if you did not see last week's message, you missed a ton. We spoke tons about the Antichrist that's coming, the Antichrist that already here, and the spirit of Antichrist that prevails in our world, in our system. And so listen, if you missed last week's teaching, I'm not kidding you, you missed so very much that that I would beg you, Lord, always say when I say that, don't say beg. I would urge you to make sure that you watch last week's online, homefellowshipchurch.com videos, or I guess we have a YouTube channel now. I don't know a lot of that stuff. So I'm just going to what I did, because it took me an hour and some odd minutes to teach last week, two verses. I deleted all the slides to force myself to not review it. So you guys should be very proud of me, okay? So, yeah, thank you very much. So I'm just going to read, we're going to start in verse 20, but I'm going to read 18 to 19, and I'm going to try to do as little commentary as possible. It says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, and they did not but they did not belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 is kind of where we left off. I started like 2 minutes of it. So in verse 18 and 19, we spoke a lot about the heavenly spotlight was on the Antichrist and the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist that's prevailing in the world today, and it's pretty incredible. And these next verses that we're going to talk about here, in verses 20 and 21, John's going to basically contrast that, the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist and all that's going on in the world. He's going to contrast that to us as Christians. And then he's going to get into, like in verses 22 and 23, some, I don't even know how to put it, some, he's going to shift back to the Antichrist and that whole spirit. And he's going to, I don't know, add his doctrinal tests, I would have to say, that you can see where people are today with the Lord and with his word. Before we get started, I was usually hand out more Mere Christianity and This Present Darkness. Somebody sent me a text a couple of days ago. Actually, a couple of people have said Mere Christianity. Oh, I do have one left. Okay, somebody did bring one. Mere Christianity. Oh, that's the Screwtape Letters. That's another good one. Screwtape Letters is about spiritual warfare. Anybody would like, yeah, all right? It's C.S. Lewis. All right. Thank you. All right, you're welcome in Jesus' name. Okay, so the shipment didn't come in, so we'll deliver more of these next week. I did get in a few, My Time with God, which is basically the New Testament for busy people. And so I just want to offer this up to anyone free. They don't even make these anymore. I have to buy to find them. And it'll take you through the New Testament in a year. It was some Old Testament references and then little commentaries by good godly Christians over the years. And so I always hand these out and I always run out. So I have a few more. Is there anybody, I just want to make sure, is there anybody who has not gotten one of these who would like to read through the New Testament? All right, Chris, can I borrow you, kind-hearted Chris? All right, let me give you these. Keep your hand up and only take it if you're going to read it. But I guarantee if you will read through this in 1 year and pray every time, God will speak to you. Okay, keep your hand, raise it nice and high. Don't be ashamed. And we'll give them all out again today. Because now more than ever, we have to know what the Word of God says for ourselves, right? It's crazy. Everybody's redefining terms, right? That seems to be popular in our culture today, right? Isn't that true? Right? redefining everything, and we're redefining what the Word of God says, okay? Yeah, I can't believe there's actually two left over. Wait a minute. That never happens. Does anybody else want one? Come on now, there's two left over. Anybody want to take on the challenge and read through the New Testament? Young, old, no? Wow, I got two left over on me though. I wonder how God's going to use it. Now also, if you like the King Jimmy version, let me know. And I will get you the King Jimmy version of this time with God as well, if you'd prefer that. I have it in the New Century version, which is a little bit easier to read. At least it is for me. Again, just a little plug for The Chosen on Netflix or on YouTube. We're going through the book of Luke. Just challenge yourself to watch 15, 20. But did you try it, Gary? Pastor Gary? Yeah? Isn't it? So just try it. You're going to want to watch your shows. It's fantastic. Just watch 20 minutes of it, 30 minutes before you get into your shows, and let the Word fill you up. It just goes off the Bible, sort of a dramatized Bible reading. Just watch it. Check it out. I know you'll be encouraged. Thank you for all the people that you're praying for and for Stanley. I just seeing him up here is just so beautiful. We're so thankful. John, seeing him here, it's amazing. We're so grateful. And here they are, injured, sick, whatever. God is still working in them and working through them, because that's our God. He's an awesome, miracle-working God. Okay, so this is where we left off in verse 20. It starts off saying this, as you can see on the screen. Again, John is now contrasting all that talk with the Antichrist and the spirit anger. He says, but you, here we go, now we're something different. But you, Christian, born-again believer, you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you, me, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And that word anointing, some of your Bibles will say unction, and that word in Greek is charisma, right? You have a charisma, you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, the Bible says. And we talked about that anointing. And I want to say, because I had some questions about the anointing and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And it says, it goes on to say, and all of you know the truth. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when it talks about anointing, I want to tell you what we're not talking about. Sometimes you'll watch some pastors on TV or some, and they'll be like, I've got the anointing. Right, can I get a hallelujah? And they'll work up a little ball. And then they'll throw it in the crowd. Woo! And all the crowd goes, woo! And then, oh, I got another one coming this way. Woo! And they'll go, whoa. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I don't know what that is. Okay, but that's not the anointing that we see in Scripture. Okay? Just to be honest. Right? Okay? So, believe me, I understand. I believe in miracles. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. So, but there's a difference between what's biblical and what's not. The only time I ever saw... Jesus, I didn't picture him on the Sermon of the Mount saying, you know, as everybody was coming and he was starting to preach on the Beatitudes, hey, well, I got something for you. I know I could speak the word of life into your hearts, but no, I'm going to ball up my anointing and woohoo! And they rolled down the hill. It doesn't say that, right? So he had an unction from the Holy Spirit. He spoke out the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The only time I remember a bunch of people, you know, falling over when Jesus speaks is, if you remember, I just happened to think of that this morning, Lord reminded, is when he was rebuking those people who were coming for him. Do you remember when they came for him and John and all those people came for him, all the soldiers said, you know, and he said, I am... And they all fell backwards because they were trying to take him and kill him. That's the only time I remember that. So when we're talking about the anointing here, what he's talking about, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. And because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you now possess a resource for knowing all truth. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll talk about that more. We talked about... you get some of this because it's part of this verse that I didn't finish. When we're talking about in the Old Testament, Oh, sorry, the Lord's reminding him of one other thing. In the New Testament, it also talks about anointing. If in James, if anyone is sick, they're to ask for an anointing from the elders. And what that is we take oil, just like in the Old Testament, it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and we're to pray for them. Pastor Gary does a little smear, is what that means, to put that oil on there. I usually put a little cross, and we pray over that person that the Holy Spirit would heal that person. Okay? Now, sometimes you might hear, this particular time, that worship, boy, when he picked up that guitar, it was so anointed. Or when Pastor Darren spoke, some people said some really nice things last week. Oh, that was really anointed. And what they're meaning by that is there was an extra measure of power that was given. Does that make sense? Like, okay, an extra measure of the coming upon, you know, the Holy Spirit just speaking in an extra powerful way, or the worship played in a way that was just particularly just moved by God, and it was just particularly powerful. But in the Old Testament, they would use that oil, that anointing, to anoint prophets like Elijah did with Elisha, and give him a double portion of his power. Priests, when Pastor Gary was ordained, or when we ordained Jonathan Bachman, right, we anointed him with oil and we prayed over them for their office. So we are priests of our homes, of our families, right? Kings also, when Samuel anointed David. Jesus also, when he was in the synagogue, read this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And again, that's what Messiah means, anointed one, to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised. And it says in Acts that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed. Again, somebody said this is a phoenix. Okay, why did you have a phoenix in this? Okay, just so you know, in Acts chapter 1:8, it's not a phoenix. What it says is in the book of Acts that it kind of came down. When it talks about the Holy Spirit, sometimes it'll look like a dove or tongues of fire, it says in Acts. So that's supposed to be a fiery dove, okay? Not a phoenix. I just assume people know that sometimes. But it says, he said, "Hey, I want you to wait." And then he says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth." Now, so you have an anointing from the Holy One. And if you're born again here, you have that same anointing. You have that same Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Does that make sense? You have something that this world does not have. You have a special gift from our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, that will lead you, that will guide you, that will help you, that will give you discernment, that will give you understanding, that will give you wisdom. It says you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Now, this word here, "know," I don't know if I mentioned it last week, is not the normal "know" that John uses in 1 John. Usually he uses a Greek word called gnosko, which means experiential knowledge. This time it says, "and all of you will know the truth." All of you know, he uses a Greek word called eido. And that means you'll know by intuition, or actually a better phrase is by discernment. You know, you'll just know. And some of your translations say it a little bit differently, which I don't like. Where it says you'll know all truth or something like that. All things, right. That's probably not the best translation, because if you're a Christian here, you know that we only prophesy in part. The Bible says in Corinthians, we only know in part. We don't know all things, but he will lead us into knowing all things. Does that make sense? Okay. Even when you believe the gospel, here's what it says. In Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, it says, you personally, think about this. I was such a jerk, I can't believe I was included. Can't believe God forgave a wretch like me. When we sing that song, you know, I think, oh my gosh, I was totally, that's who I am apart from Christ. Yet he saved me. Isn't that amazing? He saved you. Isn't that amazing? It says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the what? Message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you heard that message of truth and you believed on it, right? You also had to believe, not just hear it. You had to believe. It says you are marked in him with a seal. Like they used to do with the old days, they mark it with a seal that shows ownership, right? God's saying, I'm marking you with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So that's neat. The Holy Spirit, God has put his seal upon you. That's that Holy Spirit that's going to lead you into all truth. That's why if people leave the faith, I don't think they were ever born again to begin with. Because in John 14:26, also that's supposed to be a dove, Holy Spirit, you understand, Ron, right? It says, but we have an advocate. We talked about that a month ago. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he'll teach you most of what you need to know. Is that what it says? He'll teach you all things, and he'll remind you of everything I said. That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's what he does. John 14:26, he's amazing. Listen, this is true. I don't know if you know this, but when it says in this verse, in verse 20, you have anointing from the Holy One and you know all truth. And I want you to know, without the Holy Spirit, you can't even understand the Bible. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered how some people, I've known some people that have read through the Bible and they read it like they're reading a novel, like a Clancy novel or a dictionary, right? Or an encyclopedia. And you wonder, when I read it, oh my gosh, I'm getting revelation. God's starting to teach me things over time. And they're just getting a nice story. And there's a difference. When the Holy Spirit teaches us, he opens our eyes, he opens our ears, he opens our hearts to receive what he has. That's why whenever I give these time with God's out, or whenever you read your word, every single time I say, I want you to pray and ask the Lord, just in however way you want to say it, Lord, will you help me to understand what I'm reading here? Will you teach me something? By the power of your Holy Spirit, will you teach me? Because unless he reveals it, we're not going to know. Somebody said, I had multiple people say incredibly wonderful things. I'm too embarrassed even to share it last week about the teaching. And I want you to know I'm a knucklehead apart from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, if you don't believe me, ask people who have known me. Ask Rebecca. See? Ask George. Ask Anthony, right? Hey. Oh, man. No respect, I tell you. No respect. But honestly, we can't understand. That's why when we can't get so frustrated with unbelievers when they're not tracking with us. We want to get so offended and angry and I get it on one hand, but we have to be kind and patient because remember, we were there too one time, right? I went to church for 30 years and it wasn't saved. It was just nice Bible stories, good morals, right? Time to dress up, look nice. I didn't know the Lord personally. See what I'm saying? But we can't even understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. We need his Holy Spirit. We need that supernatural unction, anointing of God to reestablish that connection. And Pastor Gary, you raised your hand. So before I say that, we're going to bring you the microphone. Mark, would you do that, please? This is going to be hard for you to give up the microphone, but if you wouldn't mind, let's give it to Pastor Gary. And if you have something to say, if the Lord's leading you to say something, that may be the Holy Spirit. And so it's okay to raise your hand and share something if you feel that there's like a real urge on your heart.
I can testify to the truth of that. I was reading the Bible for a half hour a day for months before I became a believer. It made no sense at all. It made a profession of faith. And from that moment on, it made sense. And that it was like somebody had flipped the light switch.
Yeah. And you know what? And so I just want to encourage you. You know, it's a God thing from start to finish. You know, oh pastor, I could never be like you. Oh, I hate when people say that. I know what they are trying to say is really nice, but oh, you know so much scripture. No, it's just the Lord. I'm just so grateful. All I do is just continue to read the Bible, continue to walk with the Lord. That's what you need to do. That's what I do. Apply it to my life, right? There's nothing special about me other than I know Jesus, and I know the Holy Spirit, and I know the Word of God, and that does cool things in my life. Does that make sense? Right? But listen, if you don't believe me, what I'm saying about the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, and listen to me now. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them what? Foolishness. In fact, it goes on to say, and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit of God. So listen, when you have folks in your life that aren't tracking with you, and you know what? You have to understand, you have something really beautiful and special. You should be thanking the Lord every day instead of using that to condemn other people around you. You should be, oh man, I'm just sitting there today going, oh my God, I am so thankful I'm saved. Oh my goodness, as the world's getting darker, I am so thankful. Holy cow. As people are wandering off, like going astray, or just, you know, like lemmings, or, you know what I'm saying? I am like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. What a gift he's given you. So without the Holy Spirit, we can't even understand the scriptures. I mean, you might be able to understand it in an intellectual way, right? But you'll never be able to get that truth in your heart. And there's advantages to truth, okay? And when I say truth, I'm talking about his heart, his word, his spirit. Okay, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Listen, here's some advantages to truth, okay? Listen, truth gives us a firm foundation for our faith. Okay? An absolute firm foundation. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, but God's truth stands firm like a what? Foundation stone. And I don't know if you can see that little pillar holding up. It's holding up all that weight. With the inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord might want to turn away from evil. Must turn away from evil. And that's also going to be a sign. Now, sometimes that takes time. Sometimes we have strongholds in our life. But you will turn away from evil. If you want to, because you'll want to know the Lord. You'll want to follow him. You know, if you do wrong, like we all do, like I do sometimes, I'll hate it. And I'll feel like, and I'll say, oh God, will you please forgive me? Will you cleanse my heart? I want to do what's right. I want to please. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because I'm so grateful to my Father for saving me. That's how you know who a Christian is. Listen, and truth is totally being eroded. I love this next picture, okay? And I'll tell you why I love it in a second. But our churches, okay, are supposed to be places where truth, I don't know if this is a cool way to say it, truth dispensers, okay? Now, we have right now media, and by the way, just in case, I know Pastor Gary hasn't mentioned it in a while, we offer it to every single person in the body. There's different Bible studies in there, different teachers. It's all free. You can take it. Well, it's not free. We pay for it, but if you want to use it in your homes or to get additional Bible studies on your phone, it's fantastic. Our culture is getting such a little snippet-based teaching where people are now coming to church for worship, and that's wonderful. Or they're coming to church for social reasons, or they're coming to church to get stuff, or to hang out with friends or family, right? Those aren't bad things, are they? But the main reason we are is to know and to grow, right? So that we can be equipped for the work of the ministry. That is what, listen, if you weren't supposed to know him and grow in him, and you'd be gone. He'd save you and say, oh, bye-bye, sister, you're coming home now. He didn't, because he wants you to know and grow. And now churches, literally, I won't say who, because I love the guy, but there was another church in town, and we taught the youth, and I don't know, we were teaching for about 45 minutes or an hour. We had used little clips and stuff, but you know, and he was telling me how long, they do a lot of fun things, a lot of cool things, a lot of social things. They're very popular. How long do you teach your kids the word? Well, you know, we do pretty good with that. You know, we probably teach them about 10, 15 minutes. I'm coming, Elizabeth. 10, 15 minutes. I went on snippets, and I love the teachers that they have. Tony Evans, Francis Chan on Right Now Media. But they're, I called them. I said, because they have some going through books of the Bible. And they're really good. And I said, hey, listen, somebody had recommended a teaching, and I went and looked on it, and I said, these are all like 4 minutes long. I mean, they're good, but they're 4 minutes. Well, that's what people's attention spans are these days. This one's like 7 minutes. A seven-minute teaching? I go to the bathroom and say, anyway, 7 minutes is nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. I'm like, you're going to have to really search to find some. Listen, we have to go back to the Word of God. Look at this. Listen to this. Paul was talking and writing in Timothy 3:15, and he said, hey, if I'm delayed, I want you to know how people are to conduct themselves in the house of God, okay? This is the church of the living God, okay? We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God with his living word, right? And he says, Paul says, which is the what? Pillar and foundation of what? But I feel like our churches, although they're magnificent, they're rotting from the inside out. Nobody's teaching the word anymore. And nobody even knows that anything's wrong. I feel like I'm like a crazy person, like with, you know, flags up here going, danger, danger, you know, danger, Will Robinson, somebody. Thank God you know you're paying attention, or those of you who are at home, thank you. Thank you for coming to study the word. We want to teach it more. And again, it's not necessarily the length of it, but there's a length and a depth, okay, that we get out of it. And this picture just so, to me, encapsulates, and people are leaving. A lot of these wonderful, amazing mega churches, the ones that they're just, as they start, I just want something more. I need more. There's got to be more to this. And there is. There's life-giving word from his scriptures that will renew your heart and cut off pieces that don't need to be there and rebuild it. Our churches are supposed to be the pillar and foundation of truth. If we don't have truth as our foundation, you know what? If we didn't do Bible teaching here and you guys all still showed up, I wouldn't show up. Because the Bible comes first. When people come in here looking for stuff, if they're looking for anything else is number one in them, other than the word, they don't want to stay. But you guys are here, hopefully, because God's put you here. He wants you taught, and he wants you to grow and bless other people. Truth also gives us, strengthens us when we're tested. We're going to all go through hard times. Some of us are going to go through times where we feel like we're just, you know, drowning or melting into goo, all right? And the Word of God, that truth from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, will strengthen us when we're tested. Listen, Psalm 119, 28, and 30 in the New King James Version says this, my soul, and I just liked how he phrased it, my soul melts from heaviness. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like so much weight on your chest, like you feel like you're being crushed, like somebody's putting cement blocks and pressing down? You know what I'm saying? The Bible is, you're not the oddball. My soul, this is in the Psalms, melts from heaviness. Strengthen me. He's crying out to the Lord, strengthen me how? According to your word, man or woman or young person, man. And here's why, because I have chosen the way of truth. You have to choose to renew your mind with God's word. I can't make you do it. Actually, I would love to make you do it, but I can't. You have to choose it. But that word of God, and sometimes, listen, I love this picture because it does strengthen us, right? Isn't it a cool one? Let's be honest, it's cool, right? But then I thought, too, sometimes it doesn't quite come in such a wow, zam, bing fashion. I don't know if that's a real word, Wowzambing. That was sort of my own interpretation. Sometimes it comes slowly and surely as you just remain faithful to the Lord. You hear the teachings, or you listen to them during the week, or you read the word. You might not be getting the lightning bolt all the time. Wow! Sometimes you will, but a lot of times you're just gonna grow. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water that will grow and grow and grow. And eventually, you're going to bear fruit in season. And you'll be like, oh my goodness, how did that fruit get there? The fruit of love. How did that patience get there? I'm never patient. I'm not usually kind. Why am I responding like that? And sometimes as you're renewing your mind and renewing your heart and renewing your soul, God will just let that fruit grow. Okay? Truth. All right? Truth also enables us to understand the Bible correctly. We already talked about that a little bit, but it is the truth. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, okay, combined together. Again, that's a dove. The Holy Spirit dove, okay? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 16 and 13, okay? God's Holy Spirit will do that. He'll help you to understand and to learn. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit, that's why when we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit, we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, God, will you please open our eyes? Father God, will you open our minds to what you want me to learn? Combined with the Word of God, awesome things happen. John 17, 17 in the New Living Translation says, make them holy, Jesus was saying, by your truth. He said, teach them your word, which is what? Truth. It's the pillar and foundation. That's what we're supposed to be about. So if you're teaching a Bible study here, if you're teaching youth or women or men, the main thing is to get the word out there. Okay? The rest of the stuff will follow. Kids in the children's ministry, get the word. Love on them, right? Also, truth equips us to detect and confront error, okay? Most people don't know that they're being deceived and stuff because they don't really know enough of the word. I was looking at a little teaching that I had on, it was a teaching I found on the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, that's interesting. Clicked on it, and somebody wanted to teach about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, that's neat. And I went to click on it. Now, guess how much this pastor, right, this teacher, clicked on it. Guess how much it was to listen to his teaching? $75. He's very well known. Listen, and if you go on some sites, they actually charge. Now listen, I can understand. Okay, I'll be honest. Sometimes if somebody wants a CD or something, it costs money for that, right? It takes time for somebody to load it on there. I get it. If somebody publishes a book, right, the pages don't material. Sometimes it costs money, right? And maybe you have to make a dollar or two, right? I understand that. But do you think Jesus is really happy with us profiting off the Word of God? You want to know false teachers? They're here to fleece the flock. God wants us to feed the flock. Do you see the difference? Jesus said, hey, if you love me, he didn't say fleece my sheep. He said, feed my sheep, right? Feed him the word of God. Where's my little clicker? Anyway, he said, truth equips us to detect and confront error. Listen, if you don't know it, that's why the enemy doesn't want you in your Bible for yourself. Okay, listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture, that's New Testament and Old Testament, is God-breathed or God-inspired and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, well, Pastor, I already know this stuff in the Bible, and maybe God, when you learn something, he gives you a hammer. That doesn't mean you use a hammer for absolutely everything, right? You're a carpenter, right? If I took a screw and I was supposed to drill in that screw and said, you know what, I don't want to use, I'm just going to use the same tool. And I'm going to smash that screw in there. It might work, but it's going to cause a lot of damage, right? There are going to be times when you're going to need a screwdriver or a pair of pliers or some wire snips, right? If I'm working on wires, you don't hammer the wire. When you read the Word of God, He equips you with a different tool in your tool belt, right? It gives you understanding in a new area of your life to help you, to help your family, to help others. That's what He does, right? So, well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for years. Yeah, but are you in the Word? Are you refreshing your mind and soul? I don't know. God wants to equip you with more tools, okay? Truth also allows us to live with a humble confidence, okay? It's the truth, man. Listen to this. This is in Titus, as Paul was writing in Titus chapter 1, 2. He says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to what? Know the truth. That shows them how to live godly lives. And this is what he said. This gives us confidence that we have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. When you know the word and you understand it and you turn that truth into trust, you get confident. Okay? Not in your own abilities, but confident in his ability. 6, truth releases us from all of our fears. When I see a person that's, listen, we can all get scared. We can all be anxious. We can all be afraid. Can we not all agree? Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. However, the more you learn the truth of God's word and God's heart for you, and the more you learn to trust it, the less those fears have a real hold on you and a staying power, I would say. Okay? Listen to what God said. I like this perfect picture of these kids jumping off. Woo-hoo! No fear. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. I'm going to praise you, Lord, for your truth of your word and your hope and light. Light me by your Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be afraid because what can mere mortals do to me? You got me. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. The worst thing you can do is kill me and then I'm with the Lord forever. No more crying, no more pain. Woo! And lastly, truth allows us to see things as they really are. Jesus, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the church, you get the idea. We're living in a time where this is actually a magazine cover from Time Magazine just a couple years ago. Is truth dead? Do you guys, I don't know if you remember seeing it. Time's very liberal, so hopefully media didn't. But is truth dead? We're living in a time where truth is seen as subjective. Do you know what I mean by that? Relative? Do you know what I mean? I have my truth, right? And I don't want to step on your toes because you have your truth. And they could be completely opposite, but that's okay. Right. You can have a different perception of truth, couldn't you? You could have a different experience. You could have a different opinion. But you can't have your truth, my truth, their truth. There's truth. I watched a video. I was going to do it. I couldn't quite figure out how to. I was watching a video of how math, right? There was a little movement going in saying how math is no longer, it's now it's all relative. There's no real answers anymore. Actually, I watched how math is now racist because there's real answers and you can't. Anyway, that's a whole other story. It's bizarre to me. And I watched this interviewer, you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I have the clip, and the interviewer was like, it was on Fox, and they said, hey, you're not saying, I just want to give you the benefit of the doubt here, you're not saying that math is inherently, you know, racist because it can, are you like, because 2 + 2 = 4, right, you know, and you're not saying that's racist. And then she said, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because 2 + 2, because there's no, I forget how she phrased it, there's no reality, there's no objective reality. Truth is what you make of it. So 2 + 2 can equal whatever you want it to be. 2 + 2 = 5. And then every year is like, I don't know what to do here. It's interesting that this came out about 50 years after Time did this one in the 60s. Is God dead? It was the only time they ever did one without a picture on the cover. And you know what they used? They went back and tried to use the same font. Is God dead? They took him out of the schools, right? And now we've got to the point, right, where now we're, hey, is truth dead? Interesting. Now, we know as Christians, it is very much alive. In fact, I know truth personally. Thank you, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and life. In fact, I know his word personally, too. It's amazing. And it's living, and it's active. And it lives in me, and I hope it lives in you, too. He's saying Oxford's word for last year, okay, this was their word, was post-truth. Listen, it's almost kind of funny to us, but to the world, it's not. They're taking this very seriously. Listen, okay, and this is not a slam against Oprah Winfrey, so if you're an Oprah Winfrey fan, don't like attack me. But this was, oh, I hate that. Okay, it messed up the, anyway, says, she said, this was at the Golden Globes just a year or two ago, 2019, says, what I know for sure is speaking your truth is the most powerful tool you have. Listen, and a lot of Hollywood people are saying, your truth, my, it's not about that. It's about the truth. Do you know what I'm saying? But this is nothing new, and they're trying to take truth out of everything. So if there's no absolute truths, honestly, you might as well throw this Bible away. That's what the enemy is trying to. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I'm absolutely sure there's no absolute truth. Well, if you're absolutely sure there's no absolute truth, that's an absolute truth. What? Does not anybody think this through? I'm just saying, right? You hear what I'm saying? Okay. But the point is, this is nothing new. The same time in Jesus' day when he stood before Pilate, right? And he said, hey, he was telling them the Sadducees had handed him over, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they wanted to kill him. And Pilate's like, what has he done? And he's like, well, we wouldn't have brought him to you if he wasn't guilty. What does that mean? Anyway, so he took him in, and he said, he was talking to him. He said, oh, so you are a king, Pilate said. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify of what? To the? Oh. Don't tell me truth isn't important. Don't let anybody tell you truth isn't important. It is. And don't compromise it in your walk as a Christian. Amen. Anyway, everyone on the side of what? Truth. Listens to? So if somebody's not listening to Jesus, And then Pilate, he's the politician, right? He's the, hey, whatever. What is truth? You know, it's all relative is what he's saying. Whatever. It's just your perspective on it, right? No, there's truth and there's not. Yes, we have Pastor Gary, the famed pirate pastor. Well, the one eye thing, sorry.
Yes. When you were talking about the, you know, them throwing out the Bible, I had seen from Twitter or something that someone just posted just the Bible verse that says it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man or a woman to lay with a woman. That's it. That's all it said. There wasn't even like commentary.
Yeah.
And it was pulled down and the person's account was canceled. And they said that is hate speech. And I was like, oh my Lord, if they're going to take straight up Bible verses and call them hate speech, clearly they have an agenda. Like, we're going to be going down a really bad path.
We already are there. It's just that nobody knows yet. Correct. Good word. Listen, I got to speed things up. Okay, so let's hit the lights for a second. It says, back in your Bible, it says in verse 21, 1 John 2:21, I do not write to you, we're going to get through this, because you do not know the truth, but because you do know, and no lie comes from the truth. Listen, you know the truth. If you're saved, the most important thing you could ever know is the truth. Jeremiah 9:23 says, look, don't boast about your riches, don't boast about your wisdom, don't boast about your power. God says, but those who wish to boast should boast that they know me and understand that I am the Lord. You want to know something? Know that. Listen to this. He says in John 10, 14:27, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And by the way, when it says here, you can do something God can't, It says that no lie comes from the truth. You can do something that God can't. You can lie. In Hebrews 6:18, it says it is impossible for God to lie. He'll always tell you the truth every single time. He goes on to say in verse 22, if you can hit the light. And now in 22 and 23, again, he's going back and he's talking about these antichrists and adds a description of the antichrist, showing us their doctrinal deviations. And he says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23 says, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, in verse 23, some of your translations might say something. Maybe it says, whoever confesses the Son instead of acknowledges the Son. I like that better. Because that word in Greek, whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The word in Greek is homologeo. And it means, it does mean literally to confess, to confess, not to deny, to celebrate. So he's like, no one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever confesses, professes, praises, does not deny the Son has the Father also. And so the Bible says in 1 John 4:3 that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world. Listen, there are tons and tons of folks that say Jesus Christ hasn't come in the flesh. He's not Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? 2 John verse 7 says in New Living Translation, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body, true God, true man. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. We don't all worship the same God, and we don't worship the same Lord. You know, the Mormons believe in Jesus, excuse me, well, they do too, but they're another cult. The Mormons believe in a Jesus Christ. Their Jesus is one of many spirit children that Elohim had. Satan's his brother. He's got a bunch of them. He's not the savior of the world. He's not God with us. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe he was just a guy. Actually, he was Michael the Angel, but he came as a man, and he was just a normal dude. Hey, peace out. Not Emmanuel, God with us, until he got, you know, anointed by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's tons of them. Listen, the Jews, I hate to say this, I love the Jews. But if they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, his Messiah, I was in a debate with a, I won't say debate, we were in a debate with an elder or a lay leader at another church about the Muslims. And what he was saying was that since Allah is another word for God, we serve the same God. And I was trying to tell him, we serve the same Jesus, it's just different names. Okay, no, we do not. I do not serve Allah. I do not serve the Jesus that they serve. Do you know the Jesus of the Muslims, right? To us, he's a savior and a redeemer, and he's going to come to take us away, no more pain. Do you know what he is to the Muslims? He's coming back in and as an enforcer, as a mafia hitman, and he's going to kill all the Christians and Jews. Does that seem like, are we talking the same Jesus? Right? Okay. The Gnostics of John's day, or Cerenthesis was another teacher in those days, they all said, oh yeah. Listen, this is a little doctrinal thing. He is Emmanuel with us, true God and true man. I love Warren Wiersbe. When we talk about confessing, or I like that word better than he acknowledges it, because there's so much, it's so much deeper. He says, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. It involves much more than simply to identify Christ. The demons did this, but it didn't save them. Do you remember that in the New Testament? In the synagogue, Jesus in Mark chapter 1 was teaching, and all of a sudden a demon goes, I know who you are, right? And he cast him out. You're a Christ, Son of the living God. And they were all amazed at his teaching. And then when he cast out the demon, they were freaking out. Or how about the man at the Gadarenes, right? The demon, he used to be bound up. He lived among the dead, would cut himself because he was under demonic influence. Don't let the demons do that to you. But anyway, and he came and we saw Jesus came over. He fell at his feet and he says, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Have you come to torment us before the appropriate time?" They knew who he was. In fact, that demon fell at his knees, right? But he didn't willfully obey Jesus, right? As a Christian, I willfully obey him. A demon might have to obey when it casts him out, but I willfully obey because I love him and I'm thankful for him and I want to obey him, right? You too? Amen? That's the difference. He goes on to say, true confession involves personal faith in Christ and who he is and what he's done. A confession is not a mere intellectual theological statement that you recite. Oh, I confess Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm saved. No. He says it's a personal witness from your heart of what Christ has done for you. If you have trusted Christ and confessed your faith, then you have eternal life. Listen, there's a saying in James, if you were with us in the James teaching, in James chapter 2, 19, and I couldn't decide which one to use, okay, which I love these slides, but he was saying, hey, this one or this one, I'm not sure which, I'm going to go with this one. Okay, he says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. They acknowledge God is there. They acknowledge God has power, right? Again, they're just not willfully submitting to him. Does that make sense? All right. So, Pastor, he believes in God. Isn't that great? No, not necessarily. Oh, but Pastor, you know, she believes in the... Listen, demons do that. Are they committed to the Lord? Are they... You see the difference? He goes on to say in verse 23, he who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. And he says, when he says something like that, listen, we have to understand if you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the Father as well. John 15:23 says, Jesus said, whoever hates me hates the Father as well. You can't Pastor, I love God. I just not given my life to Jesus. Well, I what you believe is important. Who you believe Jesus is important. There was a famous preacher, George Whitfield. He was an evangelist, a British evangelist. He did some in England in the New Colonies, and he was speaking to a man about his salvation and his soul, and he knew something was wrong. And he finally asked him, "Sir, what do you really believe? What do you really believe?" And what he said, and the man replied respectfully when he was asking, "Well, I believe what the church believes." And then so Whitfield said, "Okay, I got that." So he says, "What does your church believe, sir?" The preacher inquired again, and he said, "The same thing I believe." And then he said, the preacher said, "Okay, and what do you both believe then?" "We both believe the same thing." Right. So a man's not saved by assenting to any church creed or anything like that, but by personal faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus said in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." He told his disciples, when they said, "Hey, just show us the Father, Jesus." He said, "If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." He didn't do that. I'm just, that's how I would have done it. I'd be like, "From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." He might have. He's probably a little less sarcastic than me. Chuck Swindoll said this about the doctrine of incarnation, why it's so important. He said, if Christ were only God, he would have remained separated from our human experiences of suffering and unable to participate in our own desperate plight. He would have been unable to die in place of sinful humanity if he were just God, because he wouldn't have been able to die and pay the price for our salvation. If Christ were only man, his death would have been simply martyrdom. A good man, nothing more than an inspirational example to follow. He would have simply been a victim of human tragedy, unable to conquer death, powerless to triumph over the grave. But praise God, we do have a Savior, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, these last few verses and I'll cut it. How long have I been teaching?
7 minutes.
All right, we're done. All right. Here we go. I'm finishing it out. Finishing out to 27. Ready? Here we go. He says, in verse 24, he says, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father. See, they're together. And then verse 25 says, this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Listen, the Father and the Son are connected. Jesus said in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And listen to this. I love this. I love this picture, scripture picture. Ooh, I'm so proud of it. You'll have eternal life. That's what we just read in verse 25 of 1 John chapter 2. And here in John 5, okay, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, right, has what? Eternal life. And he will not be judged, but have what? Crossed over. See what we did there? From death to life. And I like this, but has crossed over. When you believe, right? You are sealed through the day of redemption.
You mean that doesn't say will have, it says has?
You have it starting right when you believe. Right?
Amen.
Till the day you go home to be with the Lord. Actually, not until the day, because you've crossed over. It's going to go on for eternity. We could just keep it going. Does that make sense? You have crossed over because of your belief in Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Now, you might not be in heaven yet. She's crossing over. Don't you dare yawn at me. And then he goes on with these last few verses. He goes, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. 1 John 2:26. He's warning you. He's like, please listen. There's tons of cults and false teachers, false prophets. They're all trying to lead you astray. Or some of your Bibles will say seduce you. That's even a better word. It almost has kind of that demonic feel to it. And then the last verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this in your Bibles. But again, you got all this going on. But you, again, this contrast, you have received, if you are born again, if you put your faith in Christ, right? You've trusted him forever. You have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he lives where? Within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go to Bible studies or don't listen to pastors, because he gifts some teachers, people to teach. But the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches you is true. And it's not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Continue to abide in him. Trust him. Remember how important truth is, and fill your mind, your heart, and soul with so much truth that whenever these spirits are trying to seduce you or these false teachers, and there's a ton of them, God wants everybody to be healthy and everybody to be wealthy, and there's so many now, and they're accepted. And truth is being pushed aside. It's all relative. There's no truth. You have to now know more of God's word than ever so that you can stand firm on the rock of Christ Jesus, on the foundation, and be a part of the pillar and foundation of truth. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would instill truth in them, in the very soul of their being, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that you would renew, you would stir up, Lord, anything in their hearts and souls, Lord God, if they've been maybe putting your word off or not, you would stir them up, Lord God, to get back into your word, to be strengthened, to be overcomers like you want them to be, Lord God, filled with your word, filled with understanding, filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray that they would ask you every time that you would open their eyes to what you have to say to them when they read, Lord God. I pray for anyone who doesn't know you yet. Maybe they just come to church and they think they're saved. And Lord, they don't know, and this is all just so confusing. Maybe they've never been saved. Jesus, will you save them? Will you help them to cry out, I need you, Jesus. Will you save me? I know I'm a sinner. I know you died and you rose again and you live forever. And I want to know you and I want to love you and I want to serve you. Would you save them right here and right now? Anyone who's listening to this video, cry out in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, will you save me, Jesus? And will you teach me all that you want me to know? And I pray that you would do that for them, Lord. I pray for that blessing of salvation and that stirring up of hearts for your heart, for your word, and for your Holy Spirit, that we can go in strength and in power to do whatever it is that you command us, that we would stand firm in the faith on the bedrock foundation of truth, on the rock of Christ Jesus and his precious word by the power of his Holy Spirit. And all God's people together say, amen, amen, amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.